Father, we thank you that you are here with us now, and as we look into your word, we pray that you will help us to understand what you are saying to each of us as individuals. Help us not to look to each other, but only to you in what decisions we make for you, because we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so, as we celebrate the season of Lent, the words, if you like, from Matthew 6 become more and more full of meaning. The season of Lent is a time to reflect on how we live out discipleship in the world around us. It's a time to reflect and to repent. We had a reminder of this at our service on Ash Wednesday and our time of reflection afterwards. We also will move forwards with our Lent course as we reflect on our prayer lives, both individually and as a church. I know sometimes in Lent we talk about giving things up. We also talk about perhaps doing random acts of kindness. Random seems almost the wrong word. It sets the bar too low. I think that Jesus set the goal not from random acts of kindness, but deliberate acts of kindness. We're called as believers to purposeful reflection and to meditate on our actions and to serve with thoughtfulness. It's not a hit or miss here or there, some random act, but purposeful, persistent, meaningful acts of kindness, repentance, and as this passage tells us, giving of alms or giving to the needy. So if you want to go ahead and give up something for the season of Lent, then that's fine. But what God really wants is over the next few weeks for us to search our hearts and make a decision to give ourselves every day to discipleship. To give ourselves every day to discipleship. To take each moment and live each moment as we make every effort to strive towards perfection. I know none of us will reach it, but it's about striving towards it, isn't it? While the season of Lent is about penitence and recognising our flaws and sins and responding with apologies and atonements, Lent is also about maturing in our faith and growing in holiness. Growing in holiness. It's easy to do what is right when we gain recognition and praise. The next time you do a good deed, ask yourself, would I still do this if no one ever knew I did it? Would I still do this if no one ever knew that I did it? Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen of them. If you do, you have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. That's what we've just heard in that reading from Matthew. We will have no reward from our Father in heaven if we're doing it just so that people can sing our praises. So in this verse we see that this idea of being seen is the central thing here, not being seen in these actions. When he refers to acts of righteousness, he's really referring to what we would probably call spiritual disciplines or the common spiritual practices, including things like, at this point, giving to the needy. One thing we need to keep in mind as we go through this is that Jesus is not implying that you should never do your acts, your spiritual discipline, if you like, in public. He's not trying to create a law that says by penalty of death you should never do these things in public. He's definitely not doing that. What Jesus is doing is talking about the heart. This is what he often does, isn't it? He's trying to get to the heart level of people. He wants people to examine their motivation for doing things. He's trying to get people away from the motivation to do these acts of righteousness for the sole purpose of show, of being seen by other people. A better way to translate this is, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men in order to be seen by them. In other words, your reason for doing it is to be seen by others. If you do, you will have had no reward from your Father in heaven. Again, he's not saying never ever do anything in public. That would be impossible. He's saying don't do it for the purpose of being seen by others. So, what's he talking about? First of all, he starts talking about giving to the needy. He says, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues on the street to be honoured by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. I suppose in a way what he's talking about at this point is charity. Charity could mean things like giving money, giving clothes, giving food, or even giving shelter. We could see it as we give to the food bank maybe, or to Sanctus, or money to causes that support those in need. He's talking about giving to the needy. It was expected at that time that the Jewish people would give to the needy and help the poor. And it's expected today that Christians should help the poor. What would happen is that the Jewish people would go into the synagogues and give their money to the poor. And then over time, some people decided that this was an opportunity to be seen in public, to be recognised in public. I don't really think that there was an actual trumpet that came, but maybe there was, who knows. But we know this is a figure of speech, if you like. We often say, don't blow your own trumpet, don't we? And in a way, that's what they're saying. Don't blow your own trumpet. Don't stand there and say, look at me, by your actions. People would do that in some way, especially those that gave a lot. They would want the attention. People caught on to that and began to give them the attention. They would give them honour for helping the needy. So what does Jesus call these people? He calls them hypocrites. Quite a harsh word, hypocrites. And we see that over and over in society today. I suppose a modern definition of hypocrite is really somebody who's pretending to be someone that he or she is not. Somebody pretending to have high holiness about him or her, but really maybe having a bad character inside. As you probably know, the word hypocrite was originally a theatre term. It was a term that was used for an actor on the stage. What Jesus is saying is, don't be like those people that basically are doing an act. They're performing in front of an audience. They're trying to make themselves look to be holier than thou, when really their hearts are not right. Because they're seeking the recognition of men, because they're seeking the honour of people. This is what they get. God just steps aside and says, you want the reward that comes from the honour of people? You've got it. But when we get to verses 3 and 4, in a way we get to the real crux of the matter. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. I suppose I've just got one of those imaginations that just picture the scene of somebody looking at the left hand and the right hand and saying, don't talk to each other, which is obviously ridiculous. So what's Jesus saying at this point? I suppose it's quite confusing in a way, because isn't it a few weeks ago that we had let your light shine before people that they may see your good works and glorify your God who is in heaven? Now he's telling us to do it in secret. But as I reflected on this, I believe that Jesus is getting us to think about what is in our hearts. What is in our hearts? Are we giving of our money or time or even our talents because we want everyone to praise us? Or are we doing it because we have compassion for others through our great love for God? It's about the condition of our hearts. I picked the Acts passage because it gives a picture of how the church worked in its early days. The people were willing to sell things for the sake of those less fortunate than themselves. If you read it carefully, it says that they gave not only to fellow Christians in need, but for all who were in need. What they did must have had such an impression on the people around them that people came to join them. Their light shone, leading people to seek out God. So I suppose this is what we're talking about. Giving to the needy, giving to the church, giving of our time, giving of our abilities, not because we want others to be wowed by us, but because we want to show God's love through that giving. It's where our hearts are. I suppose in four short verses, we've been challenged to look at our giving. The early church certainly took this to heart. I want to challenge us now. Are you one of those people that have given the same amount of money year after year to the church? Maybe this is your opportunity to review it. Maybe you're like me, looking at so many charities that come through the door that you don't know which one to give to. Maybe you're always intended to put food in the food bank box or in the Sanctus box and you just haven't got round to it. Maybe you've thought that you should be more involved in the church or charitable work, but again, you haven't just got round to it. So I'd like us to take up that challenge, to think about how we might respond to what Jesus said in these few words and how we should give to others. We're going to sing a hymn in a short while, and as we sing that hymn, if you've got your pledge sheets there, on your pledge. It talks about our worship and our giving. Now, where it says specifically, I pledge, maybe it's saying to you, I know that God wants me to change the amount I'm giving to church. You don't need to put an amount of money in there. You maybe feel you've got time, you need time to think about that. But you need to put in there, I pledge to change that amount of money. Maybe you think, okay, I feel that what I'm giving now is right. And that's between you and God. As I said, it's about our hearts, isn't it? But maybe God's challenging you. Are you putting food in the food bank? Maybe you just want to put food for the food bank. Maybe you've heard about Sanctus and thought, oh, what a good idea. But you still haven't got round to putting something there. Now is the time to pledge on that sheet to say, yes, I'm going to put something there. Maybe you've always thought of giving to a particular charity and you've thought to yourself, I'll do that someday. This is the day that you're going to actually pledge to do that. It's hard to stop here in church and to pledge that. If you notice, there's a sort of line at the bottom. Sorry, we didn't perforate it for you beforehand. but do please tear that off and write both in there what you want to pledge. It may be amount of money. It may be what you're going to do. But pledge in there and write it there to take home, to put on the wall, to remind you that you are going to review that thing. Maybe you're going to review how much time you give to the church or give to a charity. Maybe you're going to review those sorts of things. And maybe they can be put in there as a pledge. It's between you and God. It's in your heart. And when you bring it forwards, I will give you that opportunity to bring the top part forwards. Those that haven't got, decide not to bring something forward. Don't look at the others and think, Oh, they're showing off. Because we've just read all about that, haven't we? And I wouldn't like anybody to think that somebody else is just showing off. It's about our hearts. It's not about what we put in there. This is just a way, a symbol, if you like, of helping us to know that that's what we want to do. If you need a pen, during this hymn, the church wardens will bring pens round. If you need a pen, please do take one. As we sing, do please be thinking what you're going to write on there. Write it as we're singing. If, after we finish singing, you feel led by God to bring forward something that you want to pledge, I'll place the bowl more centrally and you can bring it, fold it up and put in the bowl. It's not for Steve and myself to think, ooh, fancy they've put that. It's not like that at all. It's a symbol for you to say to the Lord, this is what I want to do. I hope that makes sense.